8:35 Central African time. Alhamdulillah, Consciously Connected is a program that's keeping you connected with us this morning. Hope you're enjoying it as much as we are enjoying it. Boniface and I, and mashallah, lots of queries coming through. And that segment indeed, really food for thought, spiritual food, tropical cream and this cream and all those things. But as long as you enjoy your ice cream like how Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imama does, then you're most welcome also. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Member of Parliament, Leader of the NFP. How are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, beautiful day in the city of Cape Town. I'm not sure in terms of the reports. I think some parts of the country are still having some wet and stormy weather. But it's expected to clear up very shortly. Well, I think one of the concerns that is at the moment we have is the high infection rate in China, and South Africa has already identified its first case of the most trans virus that, in fact, from what we are told, it's a new variant, and it's highly transmissible. And we have identified the first one in the country, but government, particularly the Department of Health, is very slow on doing something about it. Like I have said before, I have raised it time and time again with them. Meetings have taken place, but no conditions have been put, no restrictions and things. Whilst many other countries, Germany being the last one that has now put in more restrictions on Chinese travelers. There's a concern being raised by the Department of Education, higher education particularly, on fly-by-night schools and colleges, and advising people that if they're not SAKA, which is the South African Qualifications Authority, recognized, people must stay away from them. They have been shutting down quite a few of them. Startling revelation, Derater, poisoned. Opened the charge, matters under investigation. This was the day before, I think, when he's just handed in his resignation but did not inform them what is really going on. This is what we want to know. But more importantly, the ANC statement that Mantashe has just made is very worrying. I thought they said they were going to do away with CADA deployment, and they said that they are going to have something to do with the appointment of the new CEO of ESCOM, something they've been doing all along and messing it up anyway. But it seems like that they have no intention from moving away. Well, we're expecting the January 8th statement, and particularly the resolutions. You know, unfortunately for us as a country, they are the ruling party, and so we're going to have to see what resolutions that they have adopted. Not that in terms of history they are able to implement a lot of them. Can you imagine a woman driving a Golf 7, brothers? 220 kilometers per hour. In a 120 kilometer zone. Can you believe that? Now, really, I think that is reckless. That is really beyond the limits. Yeah, these are just some of the things. And, of course, there's been an attempted assassination. But more importantly, the bodyguard of the vice chancellor of the University of Fort Hare has been assassinated. So, yes, I think it's South Africa and the rule of law.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And I'm looking at this small article in front of me. It says merit should inform who fills cabinet vacancies, cautions Mashatile as he warns against a scramble to fill in position. What merit, what type of deployment, and what's going to happen? As you said, the ANC still has that old cadre deployment, and it's jobs for pals, Ahmed.
You know, in my experience, Brother Shavit, with Paul Mashatile, very knowledgeable, very eloquent, articulate. I have a lot of respect for him. You know, he used to chair the Standing Committee on Appropriations for a period of time. And I think he has what it takes to be the deputy president. I think he can make a difference. And I think what he is saying here, that if I understand him correctly, that, you know, you must appoint ministers and deputy ministers based on merit, meaning those that have the necessary capacity and ability to be able to perform optimally. And he obviously realizes that there are a lot of appointments that have been made over a period of time that were not fit for purpose. And remember that Fikile Mbalula, now that he's a full-time SG, will perhaps have to resign, step down. Ayanda Lodlo has went to the bank. Well, bank, you know, that vacancy exists. And I think the other problem is, and I think what he's cautioning us about perhaps, is that it's payback time. So president may attempt to pay back and appoint those that have been loyal to him and supported him in the conference, rather than those that are the best suitable to perform. And I think that's what he is basically cautioning against. There are experts who are also saying that Paul Mashatile will be the president of the country before 2020, before the end of this term. So, yes, these are some other predictions. But I think, in a nutshell, I must agree with him that, first of all, I think you need to do an evaluation of the performance of the ministers that are still there. And based on that, if there's a cabinet reshuffle, which is expected, then, you know, they must appoint those that are best able to do the job. But I want to also caution us, you know, when we talk about ministers, because ministers come and go. Like it's anticipated, there will be another reshuffle now. But the DGs, the DDGs, the CFOs, these people have been there, many of them have been there for a long period of time. And the question is, why are we not addressing their performance? You know, because there's only so much ministers can do. And but at the same time, you know, putting in or placing in ministers who know absolutely nothing about the portfolio, I mean, it's going to take them the best part of 2 years, I think, for them to even understand what's going on in those departments. And that is why you'd find that, you know, making these appointments, there is no significant contribution from these ministers. There's no innovation. There's nothing new that is coming off. They don't even attempt to want to address some of the or challenges that their departments are facing. And it's perhaps because they don't have any knowledge of how to do it, but they've just been put in the deep end, appointed in those particular positions which they know very little or nothing about. And I think that's what's making it very difficult to ensure that you have quality leadership in these different portfolios or departments.
Yeah, Ahmad, looking at this question, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Really enjoying the program, but what worries me, Ahmad, is the price of food going up and down. In 2023, they were, in 2022, they were playing games with our minds. Then they invaded, the invasion started with the Ukrainian and the Russian war, and suddenly the food prices went up. Then they brought it low again. Now it's getting higher. And now they say in 2023, they're going to be very high levels of cost on food. Why are they playing fools? And they are even taking all the farms of the world and making it into sand dunes. Ahmad, do you respond to that?
Well, there's been concerns raised time and time again. I personally raised concern with the Minister of Trade and Industry, bringing in the Competition Commission to investigate the collusion and by big business, particularly in the food sector, where prices are fixed. And I gave him examples of how you go into different supermarkets, the prices are exactly the same. And each one of them have just about 10 or 20 items on special. But what is very important to note is that the entire food chain is owned by a handful of people, right from manufacturing, wholesaling, distribution to retail sector and things. So it's very tightly controlled, and they manipulate prices, there's no doubt about it. And more importantly, I think, you know, the collusion that takes place between them. And yet the department, and I know that the department has done some work on it. And some of them have been charged, but not enough work has been done on it. And you often ask yourself the question, I mean, I'll give you a good example. When we did away with the tax on bread, VAT, and you've never seen a drop in the price of bread. Never. So people were paying the same. In fact, it's gone more. But that we've taken away was supposed to benefit the poorest of the poor, and it did not do that. So, you know, it's how these big business manipulate it. And you'd notice that at a certain period of time in the month, all their prices shoot up quite a bit, by 30-40%. And then they put a couple items on special. So you can see how they market themselves, manipulate the entire industry, and poorest of the poor people are paying the ultimate price for it. And that is why I've said even before, even those that save for the Stockfeld and things, brother, the biggest mistake they are making is saving and taking that money in November or December and going to do buying, because it's got very little value at the time, because the prices have shot up considerably. So the value of that money is not. So, you know, it's a major problem. And the problem you got is, you know, will government, who many of them have interest in many of these organizations, either shareholders and things like that, will they do enough? It's exactly the same thing when we talk about the influx of Chinese products into the country, and we're not doing anything about it either, which is affecting the local market. We don't want to do anything about it. To such an extent that the high levels of infection in China, which is a great risk to us here, Brother Shepherd, we're not even willing to do anything about that because of our interest. This is what it is about. So it's exactly the same thing in this the food supply chain. The interest that some of us have in them is the reason why very little or nothing is being done to protect the interest of the people on the ground.
Yeah, Mother, we noticed that the Defense and Veterans Minister, Thandi Modise, has hit out against the United States for trying to bullying African countries from doing business with Russia. While she's getting a bit of a bully herself with the Americans here, I believe even the Russians and the Chinese are doing some Defense Force drill with us. What's going on here? We are part of a potpourri.
Yeah, South Africa is the training. But I think what is important, listen, she's a very vocal minister, I must be honest with you. She is quite a capable minister, there's no doubt about it. Whether she's fit for that particular position, it's something we will have to establish over a period of time. However, I must tell you, you know, like her, many others have established the role that the United States play, particularly in Africa and many other countries, and the influence that they have in terms of the civil unrest and wars and things and the division that is taking place there and things. So I'm glad to an extent that she has been vocal about it. But remember that she must not forget that she is part of a cabinet that is split when it comes to some of them have their allegiance to the United States and others don't. And, you know, and that might be the reason why, you know, if necessary, the minister, president may want to reshuffle her as well. If you saw what happened to Lindiwe Sisulu on the issue of Palestine and things, very quickly she was removed. So you've got to be very careful how you deal with these things. And that is why I say you lose your objectivity and your independence when you belong to political parties and organizations, you must take the mandate from the parties. And many of them are not in agreement with what happens in their organizations. But there is a lot of information that has unfolded on the United States military in South Africa, the Russians, and many others. But there's a whole lot more that's going on underground. A whole lot more that's going on underground. In fact, I think it's very important for us South Africans to get a clear picture. And perhaps I think that's the question I should be posing to the minister, which I will do in the next week, to give us a clear indication of exactly what is going on, who is in the country, what is their purpose in the country, who has given them authority, how is it benefiting South Africa. So I think we'll pose that question and let's get clarity on exactly what is all these military forces doing in South Africa.
Ahmed, our engineer Boniface, he likes his nasheeds. He's just checking his list. You heard that there. And yes. Well, we see that the ANC to push for overall of a migration law. And migration, immigration. What's going on with the ANC, Ahmed?
You can expect the ANC to make some announcements coming off this conference, which will be controversial. Again, Brother Shepherd, I don't know whether we can take them seriously. There is no doubt that on various fronts, they should take a position, go back to the history books and look at where they've gone wrong and how they're going to correct that. But very importantly, whether they got the capacity to implement these things. Because as we are aware, since 2017, many of them have not been implemented in any case. But also it will be an opportunity for them to score points, to oppose others, depending on, and remember it's election time, so manifestos are going to be drawn up, and so they're going to have to tell people on the ground what they want to hear, and so it's going to be popular stances. So yes, you can expect things that they're going to say based on bringing in the vote, not about what is in the best interest of the country and its people. There is no doubt about it. If you want to talk about immigration in South Africa, you have to deal with the influx of foreigners into the country. Brother Shafford, the levels of corruption is shocking, I must tell you. When I tell you shocking, it's unbelievable. Despite all the efforts by the minister, there's a lot of work to be done. Coincidentally, on a matter on a different issue, yesterday I had a meeting with somebody. Well, not a meeting, actually a dinner with somebody, young lady, and getting into business and things like that. And I was shocked at what she told me. She told me about how she's getting into a business, and there is a certain individual that she's told to contact for funding from the Department of Trade and Industry. And that person has got a contact at DTI who will make sure that the funds are granted and an X amount of money must go to him. And then she gives me an example of somebody in Durban who's received a lot of funding and had to give 6 million rand back to the person at DTI. Now you can see to what extent. Now I've heard about these issues of DTI many a times and I've raised them. But again, it shows that every department is riddled with corruption to the extent that if you want to fight it, you become a victim. If you look at the rate now on the so-called poisoning, what is it all about? So it looks like corruption is in control to such an extent that you are, if you only try to oppose it, you become easy meat for these people, and then they start targeting you. So, I also had a discussion with somebody yesterday on some of the high levels of crime in the Western Cape and how there are police officers that are so deep into these things. They implicate people that have nothing to do with certain levels of crime, and you know, even people are being assassinated, and police officers are deep in this. So it really South Africa is fast, you know, approaching a country that I think will lose absolute control over a period of time unless something drastic is done.
I tell you, Ahmad, really great being in your company this morning, and alhamdulillah, Jews will be coming up shortly. But your parting words before we let you go?
Well, yes, you know, Barisha, of course, firstly, I think we are expecting this January 8th statement, so let's just see what they say. But more importantly, the point that we did discuss has been the one on fly-by-night schools and colleges. So, you know, out of desperation, if we want to put our children in, be very mindful that some of them here are not recognized. And as such, you, if you want to further your education after that, or you want to be employed, some of them are not going to recognize it. It's not going to help you. It's going to be wasted exercise and money. So be very cautious in terms of, and there are numbers and authorities that you can contact to verify whether these people are recognized and registered and accredited before you register your children into these things. And lastly, I want to say there's a lot of pressure on the children awaiting these matric results. I will call parents to calm their children. You know, they need more attention now than they perhaps needed before they even write the examination. I'm hearing of a lot of cases of suicide and things, which is very alarming. And I think we need to go that extra mile when it comes to our children.
Absolutely, Ahmad. Allah bless you now and forever. And you look after yourself, always keeping the Ummah informed. Lots of blessing coming your way. And by the way, Ahmad, what is your favorite ice cream? I know one friend told me you love the umbrella ice cream. Is that true?
Yes, in fact. To be honest with you, I'm not a lover of these full cream ice creams. But I can tell you that I used to recently go and buy these boxes of Chocolina. But I've noticed that the ordinary ice creams are much, the water ice creams actually are tastier when it, particularly when it's hot, rather than those full cream ice creams. So I'm not really a lover of those full cream ice cream. But I can tell you there are days when you just feel for that cone and that ice cream. And so you run into one of these stores and you get, you know, but, yeah, so for me, it's more of those ice lollies and things. Certain ones, of course, certain brands, you know, some of them that my favorite. But I remember many years ago when this ice cream place, I think Playtime was created. Mm-hmm. And I remember that they initially went around dropping them off in different homes. And so we were standing at my house and they were going around on that main road and giving to people. And so I remember running down and picking up some of that Playtime ice cream. They were introducing the product, I think, to the communities.
Yeah, I remember that Playtime and that Rocket Time and all that. Ahmad, you have a mashallah day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.